I will follow you. Thanks. I will follow you. Well, sounds like our gospel reading today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone called for you. Someone called for you. You ever get home and, I don't know, your wife says, someone called for you. Or maybe you're at work and you get a message, someone called for you. But today I don't mean that you missed a phone message. I don't mean that something on your, you got a little icon on your cell phone that says somebody called for you, or maybe that your phone vibrated. I mean something else. Today, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus calls his disciples. You heard it in the gospel reading. He calls Peter and James and John and Andrew. You heard in the Old Testament reading how he called Isaiah in the days of Uzziah. And when we hear these texts that we read, we think, well, Jesus also calls us to gather people into his church, and he does. But rather than just consider how we're called like Peter or Isaiah today, I'd invite you to think about something else. That Peter and Isaiah were called by Christ for us, for our sake, for you, for your sake. You see, Jesus was not content to preach in a corner. He went out into a boat and sat in the boat just a little bit offshore so everybody could hear him. So people could hear him. And what he did in public. When he went to the cross, he went to the cross in Jerusalem so everyone could see him and what he did for you. It's not a secret. It's not supposed to be a secret. If Christ died for you and suffered for you and rose for you, and that were just put in a box and hidden away and nobody ever knew about it, you wouldn't know about it. What good would it do you? But it's not a secret. That's why Peter was called and why Isaiah was called. Salvation of the world matters. Your eternal destiny matters to God. That's why he called the disciples, Peter and John and James and Andrew and all the rest of them. That's why he sent them as apostles to speak to the world. That's why today he still calls pastors and missionaries, that you may hear the word of God. Sunday school teachers and directors of Christian education and baptized Christians like you and me, like maybe your mom or your dad from whom you heard the word of God, the gospel of Christ. You're here today because someone shared the gospel with you. Martin Luther, in the Large Catechism, writes something that I think is stunning. He says, neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe on him and have him for our Lord unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. Christ has acquired and gained the treasure for us by His suffering, death, and resurrection, and so on. But if the work were to be remain concealed, so that no one knew about it, then it would be useless and lost. So that this treasure might not stay buried, but be received and enjoyed, God has caused His word to go forth and be proclaimed. In the word, He has the Holy Spirit bring this treasure home and make it our own. You see, Jesus wants to get the message of forgiveness and reconciliation with God to you. That's why He sent His Son. That's also why He called people like Peter and Isaiah. Let's talk about Peter. But first, do you notice something? Before Jesus calls Peter to be a pastor, He's got some other unfinished business with Peter. So let's imagine it that morning on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe a bright, sunny morning like it is today. And it's calm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus puts out in the boat, preaches to the people who are standing on shore. Well, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they had worked all day long the previous day, and they had worked all night long, and they were tired. Bone tired. They'd worked extra hours trying to get a few fish. But if you're a fisherman and you don't get any fish, you don't get paid for overtime. They were skunked. No fish. Nothing. Ofer. Ofer the night. No fish. But still they had the cleaning up to do, the washing of the nets, the mending of the nets, the putting everything in the boat away. And here Jesus is taking their boat out for a preach. Well, they know Jesus. Peter knows Jesus. He's healed his mother-in-law. And Peter's been in his boat fishing all day. He's had a rough day. But now that familiar face of Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Let's go out in your boat." And they do, and Peter listens as Jesus preaches. And then when Jesus is done preaching, just like I'm going to say to you, "Why don't you join me for some soup later?" Jesus says to Peter something that's kind of stunning to Peter. Peter's been out fishing all day and night, and Jesus says, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets." You or I maybe would have protested. Peter might have said something, "We got nothing all night, nothing in these nets, which now need cleaning. And by the way, Jesus, you've been preaching a long time and the sun's up and, you don't catch a lot of fish in the daytime. And by the way, Jesus, I know where the fish are. And they're not out there in the deep. Especially this time of day." So I could imagine Peter saying something like this to Jesus. "Tell you what, you preach and I'll do the fishing." But Peter doesn't say that. Peter's been listening to Jesus. Peter doesn't say that. He follows the command of Jesus. He says, "At your word, I will let down the nets." And lo and behold, notice this, the one who created all the fish in the sea on the fifth day of creation draws them in to the nets. That's what amazes Peter. Peter's This is pretty perceptive of Peter. In this catch of fish, in this great catch of fish, Peter sees that there's something greater than fishing going on here. And Jesus is doing something more significant to Peter than giving him a bunch of fish for the day. Jesus is putting a claim on Peter, and Peter knows it. So imagine all these fish. You're in a boat with all these fish. And the boat is so full, two boats are so full, they're starting to sink. And you got all these fish flopping around, right? As you get them in. And what does Peter do? He goes down on his knees before Jesus. With all these fish flopping around. But it's just between him and Jesus. And what does he say? He says, "Leave me, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man." Don't you know that? You're putting this claim on me? On me? He felt like Isaiah. "I'm a man of unclean lips. How can you put this claim on me?" By the way, every preacher feels that way. "I'm a man of unclean lips. Well, why would you send me? Leave me alone, Lord. I'm a sinner." And you know, no matter who we are, the last thing that we want is Jesus there when we recognize that we're a sinner. The last thing that we want is a holy God to stand in front of a holy God when we know who we are and what we've done. It made Peter afraid, very afraid. It should make us afraid too. No matter what trouble we're in, this is our biggest concern, that Jesus is going to judge us because of our sin. But he doesn't. Instead of condemning Peter because of his sin, and instead of condemning you because of your sin, Jesus stakes your sin and bears your sin to the cross. To die in public, naked. As naked as you are before God in your sin, that's how naked Jesus was on the cross. And as afraid as you are of a holy God, Jesus is the one who is cursed and stricken and mocked and afflicted in your place. And Jesus dies for us. He dies for you. He was called to that for you. Someone called for you. So Jesus looks at Peter in his sin and he says to him, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm not angry with you. I am taking your sin upon myself to go to the cross." Jesus says, "I didn't come to judge you. I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. I'll take care of your sin. I'll make a way for you to be alive. I'll make a way for you to stand before a holy God in righteousness. Because I'll give you my righteousness. Don't be afraid. Listen to what Jesus says to Peter. Do not be afraid. And he says the same thing to you. Do not be afraid. I'm not mad at you. I died for your sins. I forgave your sins. So if you feel like you're in a boat with Peter and it's full of flopping fish, so that the boat might sink. Your boat might sink. Peter wasn't afraid that his boat would sink. He wasn't afraid that he was going to drown that day. If and when bad things happen to you and come to you, and even when our life comes to an end, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear. Because Jesus isn't mad at you. He died for you. He loves you. He forgives you. Jesus says to you, do not be afraid. And then he says to you something else. Something like this. He says, look here. Here's my servant Peter. I called him for you. I called my servant Isaiah for you, so that you may know who I am. So that you may know how much I love you. So that you may know that you are forgiven and you have nothing to fear because of my son, Jesus. Let that not be a secret to you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is not content to be silent in this world. Think about this. He wants to be preached to you. He wants you to believe in him, to receive the forgiveness that he freely offers. He wants his promises to be heard by you. He wants his name to echo in your ears. He wants his kindness to reverberate in your hearts. He wants his grace and mercy to be upon your unclean lips. Why? Because he loves you. Today we rejoice in the calling of people like Peter and Isaiah, because we see that in this calling of Peter and Isaiah and weak pastors like me, Jesus loves you. Every pastor that's been in this pulpit has been here by the grace of God for you, so that you may hear who Jesus is, so that you may know that he died for you and rose again for you. It's not for the sake of the pastor. It's for you. And when I'm gone from here, who knows when that is, the next pastor will be here for you to bring you the word of God, so that you may live, so so that you may believe and have life in Jesus' name. Believe it. Rejoice in it. It's for you. All these things Jesus gives you. Even someone called for you. Because he loves you in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen.